Life as a full-time fantasy analyst, we got the role of social media in our industry, plus getting real with Casey Kasem of the Get Real podcast here, fantasy podcast finalist through Fantasy Sports Writers Association. Also, you're on Rotoballer, so plenty of exciting stuff here, and I just love following along because you have travels, you have journeys, both personal and professional. I just want to start out as someone who has transitioned, you know, and we all have our own stories of going from something else to dabbling to trying to, you know, trying slash succeeding at doing it full time. What has that journey been like for you? So you're a lot fresher on the transitional journey here, but what was the decision-making process like when you went from non-full time to, I'm going to give this a full college try, as they say?
Yeah, it has been a try indeed. So last year I was kind of just, I've been at my job for 13 years with the county. Great job, great benefits, paid off my student loans, all that jazz. Great times.
Yeah.
But the job was like busy work basically. And it was boring. And I wasn't really, all I did all day was listen to podcasts and which was fun, but there was no room to grow. And I was talking with my wife about possibly doing something in the fantasy football space because I was done with the office. I wanted to find something.
You've been doing fantasy. You've been in the fantasy space for quite some time. You mentioned 13 years at the other job. I would guess what? At least half, if not more. You're doing something, right? Something in terms of producing content, doing podcasts in some capacity.
I had been. Yeah. It was really hard balancing both working during the day and then coming home at night and having to push out articles that maybe you don't feel 100% about, but you have to get them in.
You're logging 40 hours in something where you're like, well, I'm just kind of here. And then you would say, well, the thing I really want to do, it's like, I got to try to squeeze it in at 9 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah. And that's not great when your wife's like, yo, like, you know what I mean? So like, So I made the decision probably back in October, November, kind of. I was on the fence, talked to my dad. Dad's like, don't do it. Like, no offense, but he's like, don't quit your job until you have one, which I get that mindset too. But I'm in a position now where I'd been saving and I knew for a while, right? Because I had like you had brought up. Yeah, I had been doing things in the fantasy football space for a while. And the podcast. So like the podcast had been taking off, Get Real with Casey Kasem. Yeah. And my wife sees, you know, how much enjoyment and fulfillment I get from doing that. I was like, really, I would be able to better spend my time like working on something and trying to monetize and trying to get myself out there and just try. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think a lot of us, we'd rather, you know, if we were pressed, you'd rather make less money doing things you enjoy rather than more money where you feel like it's, you know, day by day sapping you. And my story was similar. Like I was in the military and I just talk about how, you know, to some degree, and again, if you're just kind of being aware and monitoring your environment, I felt like I had to shut off my brain at the door. You know, is kind of like, you know, free thought slash, you know, I've never been in a corporate world, but what you just described would be my fear if I worked in government would be, so I don't have a list of things I have to do, but you're telling me I have to be here from X time to X time. I was like, so there's not like a list of like, if I get this done, I leave at 1 o'clock. That's not possible. So I don't really understand. Like I've never understood that concept. So I wouldn't really fit. And fortunately, I never tried to pigeonhole myself in there, but I can totally relate to, I would rather work twice as hard doing something I actually liked, as opposed to feeling like, oh, I'll just sit here, kind of tick, 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 wait for the days and months and weeks and all that to go by. You know, it's just, I don't know. It sounds like you are the same way. You wouldn't want to spend your life that way. And so many people do, which is really sad.
Yeah. And I get why you would. I mean, having the stability of having a job and a paycheck that comes in, like,
and benefits or all the ancillary things, especially, you know, I think that industry, right, which is you work for county or state or federal or whatever, that's one of the few industries that still have retirement plans and, you know, and retirement benefits and all of that. So, wow. So what is the, I mean, again, everyone loves you. So I'm sure the support is there in terms of your transition. What has been the actual experience now? And did you actually start when the season was still going on? Or was it mostly this off season centric?
In this off season, really, February is when I quit my job. So like, you know, that's been the time frame there. When it comes to, Wow, my brain just blanked.
So you stopped in
Oh,
February
yes.
officially. You mentally you were already out since like November, December.
Yeah, and mentally I'm still not here. But yes, so starting that transition, that jump into that was really big. February I turned 40. Not like that was like the reasoning behind everything, but it did coincide with a trip we had planned. So
Like
like it was
Shawshank Redemption, get busy living or get busy dying, right? You're like, I
exactly,
am
there you go.
40, tick tock.
Right. And
Yeah.
to top it off, I mean, because my mom passed away when she was 50. So I'm like, she didn't get to do all the stuff she wanted to do. And I know she was still trying to figure it out at 50. I just don't want to be in that boat. I want to get as much stuff done as I can. I don't have kids right now at the moment. So like I have all the time to travel and do all that stuff. But it's been very, very like I have anxiety. It's been like my anxiety has been up and down. It's been such a roller coaster the last 4 months.
I would say this as someone who's been in, accelerated through, obviously 6 months and a year, and I'm at like 8 years now since I transitioned to full time and committing to this. And I will say, to some degree, the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride, it doesn't really go away. I think you just get more used to it. Like there's days when I don't get people, signing up on my website, or, like maybe some show didn't do as well as I thought it was going to do with some guest. And it's like, I still have those days of like, what am I doing? I'm not really good at this. And then you'll have some days where things are easy and, people say nice things, and it's just that role, like, I don't know, law of averages. I think you just have to kind of look at and view it almost like a month to month. Or season to season in our industry, almost more so than day to day, because I do think those lows, because it's kind of all on you. Like having a bad day at the office, you're like, oh, I'm still here, I'm still employed, I'm still going to go home, I can still shed this and shower this off of me, and kind of reset and enjoy my weekend. But now that it's all on you, I think everyone to some degree takes it a little more personally.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up about like if your show doesn't do as well and you had a guest on or anything, like you put out something and you get like a lot less clicks on it than you thought you would. Like it happens.
Or you think you do something really great and you like don't hear any positive commentary on it, or every once in a while you do get positive, say emails or whatever, and you're like, I haven't gotten any in a little bit or whatever. Like, it doesn't mean, what I've learned is, your super fans or your big following people, they're not going to reach out every single day. Like one thing I've learned over the years is they actually think you're bigger time than internally you probably do. So they're probably like, oh, I don't want to bother her with messages or any of this, but we do like that positive affirmation for sure, that like, you're on the right track, you're doing the right thing. Hey, if you stopped podcasting or stopped producing X, Y, or Z, we miss you. And what's funny is, I find it interesting that a lot of times it's not until people die or quit a website or say, I'm stepping away, and then you get this huge outreach of like, oh man, we're going to miss you, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, 6 months ago, you didn't really say anything when I was putting out all this stuff out. Apparently, you were enjoying it. But we need it. Just going out to listeners, we need it. We are never going to throw away and push aside, positive comments and that positive vibe that's out there from people that like us. So,
And I love doing that and giving people compliments. You're putting
make their
out that
day. You never
positivity.
know.
You know you're making their day because when you get that, when somebody tells you, like even the little things, like the little things that are actually big, like thumbnails or whatever. If you comment on something like that, people behind the scenes really like that kind of stuff too. So.
That's one thing that I will say, as a consumer of anything, that I've gotten a lot better at, that when I have a good experience, and not saying it's an outlier or, we never have good experiences, but like, for example, like I've been to comedy shows or, little art, little musicians that they aren't big time or anything, but if I have a good time and I think they're great, I make sure to go on social media and send them a little, hey, I just saw you in Seattle, you were awesome, and just some little thing like that. Or if you're at a restaurant, some server goes out of their way above and beyond, make sure their manager hears about it. Like, it's like, we're used to like, reviews are negative. Like, people only take the time when something goes bad and they want to flame somebody or get a free gift card or something. It's like, no, I mean, people, even if you're not at the job you're going to be at forever, people would still like to know you're doing well, and I appreciate it. So I think if you start paying it forward, I've tried to do that as I've gotten older as well. I think maybe it's something around the 40 year old threshold that gets us going in this direction. Social media. I would say I've learned to respect it in terms of like, to some degree, mentally, emotionally, you keep your distance. I think it's necessity, unfortunately. I have wondered what happens if I just went cold turkey and was just not on social media for a while. It may surprise me that it has no difference on my general business, results or anything. But what are you kind of sensing from your relationship with social media?
Well, the thing with social media is I'm basically on X, Twitter. That's where all my stuff basically is, which I haven't branched out as much to other avenues like, your Instagrams, your Snapchats and TikToks and whatever else they got out there. I don't know. I sound 40 right now. Yeah, so like Twitter's been the hub for such a long time that that's kind of where I hang out. And it's crazy because I being in the space for as long as I have, you see like different waves of people come through, putting out content, new people coming in all the time, which is awesome to see. And on the flip side of that, then you have some people that are, the bad eggs, and all that stuff. But I try to keep my keep my timelines nice and clean and all that jazz. But with social media, honestly, I wish it didn't exist, but I wouldn't be where I am right now without it. So maybe I don't wish that it didn't exist. I mean, for fantasy football content, especially, it's a really good way to just get it out there to the masses.
Free advertising.
It
I mean, I
is.
would say that you just want to kind of stay relevant. And I would say it's kind of unfortunate that you have to stay engaged. Like, you can't really sit there and for 3, 4 weeks at a time not put anything out. I also look for when some people, like, the only thing you ever see is retweets.
Yeah.
It's like, so your channel really doesn't have anything. It's all retweets. Like, you're basically just regurgitating other people that are on yours or my timeline. So that's one thing. What would you say in terms of, like, building relationships? You seem very someone that very much builds relationships. Does that start with social media? Do you meet a lot of people in the quote unquote real world, or expos and convention type stuff, or does it really start with social media and people start DMing with you and actually interacting with you and building relationships from there?
Yeah, it's definitely social media first and foremost. It's right at the front. After making these connections through social media, I've got so many friends in this industry and so many friends that are in the fantasy space that just play fantasy football because that's me. That's me. I
At
play
your heart
fantasy
rate.
football at the heart, right? Been a fan of fantasy football for a very long time, more than putting out content, obviously. But yeah, making so many relationships and just having like chats where you can go in and just like if you're having a bad day, you can talk about it and other people will give you that confidence and make you feel better about how you're feeling that day because we all have our off days. And then getting to go to the expo and all of that kind of thing has just been so incredible. What Bob's doing with that is so incredible and like meeting all my friends from the internet is kind of weird at first, but it's really cool. So, yeah, being able to do that and then networking and all of that through, I mean, that's how I get all my guests for my podcast. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get guests if I wasn't active on social media. So, definitely, probably the biggest thing that's come out of all of that is just being able to talk to so many people and meet so many people.
I would guess, again, I haven't been, but I have been to other conventions. I would imagine it is basically like your home league. If you actually get together for a live draft, multiply it by 500.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically it's a number, they could fill so many home leagues, if you will. And it's just everyone loves that. It's almost like Comic-Con, maybe for people that like comic books. I mean, it's just, you're going to get to see so many retro jerseys. They're going to have players there, notables from the industry, from the entire myriad of guys that you might follow on Twitter and you might not recognize them. You have to look at the name tag all
Yeah.
the way to folks you see on TV. So I would imagine it's just a huge event that you just keep walking around and seeing new stuff every year.
Oh yeah, definitely. Every year I see new people that had been there previous years and I just never got around to seeing them because there's so many people that show up there all for the same, general concept, fantasy football. We all love fantasy football. And with the drafting aspect too, they have the Queen's Classic and the King's Classic, which I participated in the Queen's Classic last year, which is super awesome, Hall of Fame and all of that stuff. The stadium is it's just it's crazy. And then, they have draft night out as well, which is like just everybody that wants to come draft can pay to come and participate in this huge event, and that's awesome to see as well. So yeah, it is like it's very, very interesting to see, to walk into that experience for the first time, because you just see so many people and you don't know who most of those people are, and you're like, I thought I knew everybody, right? But I guess you don't.
I have this weird feeling. So I've never gone, and part of it's been just the time of year and the location it is. But something that I've seen on your timeline, you've been on a couple big trips recently. You go to this all the time. Like, part of me says you have to just at some point say, I'm going to go to this. Like, you have to, like, if you don't prioritize something in your life, it's really easy to go 5, 10, 15, 20 years and say it just never happened. But really, it's all on you, especially if you have any sort of flexibility with your schedule. And so that's what I would say is if you have any inkling, like if you like fantasy football, like you should prioritize this. It's almost like it's a vacation. It's a mecca for something that you like to celebrate every year. You celebrate it with your time. You involve yourself in the season, the machinations of being a part of your league and or leagues with so many hours every single week. And this is a celebration of that. I guess part of my fear is I would go there and either A, nobody would know me and that would hurt my feelings, or like I always think to myself, people can know you and enjoy your stuff. And it's like, but what if you do something to damage that? So
Yeah.
anyway, I'm kind of talking about the
Oh
mental side of things, but it's like
yeah.
you have to get over that, right? And that's how you meet new friends, and that's how you have new experiences, and that's how, frankly, if you're an introvert or any sort of those limitations, you have to create and foster a good environment so that you can make that a good transition for you, like to work on not being so much.
Yeah. Exactly. But you definitely, like, I was like that the first year I went, kind of like, I don't know if anybody's gonna know who I am, or are they gonna care, like whatever. But it was like immediately, like felt like I knew these people forever, and it was cool. And meeting new, I met so many new people. It didn't really even matter. I mean, it did matter, but it didn't really matter that,
Have you gone with anybody? Like, have you had a,
yes.
like almost a sidekick sometimes? Does that make it
Yes.
easier?
Oh, that makes it so much easier. So the
Okay.
first year, yeah, my sister showed up for one of the days, but she didn't get to come for all of it. So the days that she wasn't there, I was, oh my gosh, and
It was
then
like
drinking
first
my
day of school. You're
vodkas.
like,
And,
yeah,
it
I
was,
gotcha.
but like my wife and my dad both have come each of the last 2 years. Yeah, they've both been there. My dad
Wow.
surprised me 2 years ago. Yeah, he surprised me by showing up when
He
I
got
was
a booth.
drafting.
He got a booth. You just walked by and you're like, that's my dad.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he I don't know. It was crazy. I get Bob Long's like, your dad showed up and wanted to know where you were, and they're calling all around trying to figure out where I was, and I was over at the Hall of Fame, doing my drafting. So that was an interesting experience. But yeah, taking somebody with you, that's always great. And I know a lot of people like do road trips with people. That's also pretty cool, but I'll never get to do that because I'm in Dallas and I'm not going to drive that far.
That's a day and a half probably, right? I mean, that's a pretty long commute.
If I'm not going on a road trip for like other things, then it's
Yeah.
cool. I'll fly.
You can always stop in Cedar Rapids or something like
Yeah,
that,
there you
or
go.
what, Indianapolis or something. What has been something with your Get Real podcast? You have some real talk conversations with folks. It's this times five,
Yeah.
is what how I describe your podcast. What has been something that you've personally learned? Like how has this growth been for you? Because the host, you get to kind of go into their world, you get to ask the questions, you get to be the navigator of their storytelling there. So talking to all these different people here, hearing all their journeys, what has been some of the biggest benefits for you?
Well, one of the big things is that it doesn't matter how big of a person they are, the bigger the name, you think that they got there quick, but that's not really how it happens. It's not an overnight thing. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And then I've learned about my mental health from a lot of people. Just like, how do you handle every pressure that you've got on you when you're working and you have a family and you have a life and you have this and you have that? And so getting that from everybody, that's been really helpful for me and hopefully for everybody else that listens, because that's why I do the podcast, to kind of let everybody know, like, this is what it takes mentally, physically, everything. Like, what do you have to do in order to get to where you want to be? And I need to know that. It's not a magic toolbox that gives you all the answers, but it's really helped me just learn how to like go about doing things differently, easier, you know, how to the shortcuts, the tips, the tricks, the Grammarly and all that other stuff that people want to like constantly say, yes, if you're going to be in this industry, you need that kind of stuff. So just learning all that kind of stuff from people has been beneficial to me. It's just been great to hear from so many different people. I get all emotional about this stuff, but yeah, it's awesome to be able to talk to so many different people and just get their ideas and kind of soak it in like a sponge.
One thing I used to say is, everyone wants a huge audience and they want it right away. And it's just, that instant gratification society that we've been continually building over the last 5, 10, 15 years of technology and getting feedback from strangers all over the globe and all of that. And the one thing I always come back to is, whether you write an article, report, or record a podcast, is if that one piece of content, you're like, oh, I'm so great. I've written a few articles. I should be on ESPN. I should have some massive audience. I should have this or that. And the thing I think I keep coming back to is, are you ready? Because, the quality of it, I don't like I, all of us kind of look back, if you listen to a podcast you do a year ago, 5 years ago, an article you wrote 10 years ago, again, you should feel like it's basically garbage, is my feeling of it. Like, you should feel like you're almost reiterating yourself every year and you're getting so much better, should be the goal. I don't know if it's realistic to expect it, but I think just optics and auditory wise, it probably should feel like that to you. And is that something that you kind of mentioned, the long journey for folks? And so anyone that gets on a mega stage or they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, is that the common theme? Just to kind of go back to something you said, is that they w have worked a lot harder and they haven't really been gifted anything. And if anything, really grinding and having some talent and mixing that with hard work and sacrifice and being up at 11 o'clock doing the extra stuff, and getting up when you don't necessarily want to and doing this X, Y, or Z, all those things came together for the perfect storm of they did build a relationship, they did get an opportunity. But the connection with doing all those other mandatory things, all that blended together for them to get in the right place at the right time.
I've seen people, a lot of people, yeah, they've had to grind to do the stuff that they didn't want to do, maybe write for a different, for NBA instead of fantasy football until they could get to where they wanted to be. Or, doing multiple things, being able to edit and being able to create graphics or, do video editing or whatever. Like, just having multiple skills has always been something that's elevated people that I've talked to. Like, that's just how it is. Like, sometimes they just have to do extra, and sometimes they do extra and they're not getting paid for it, or they're not getting paid enough for it. And they just continue to push and grind and get better at their craft until they get to where they need to be. So, yeah, that's been a common theme.
And don't give up. I think it's
Never.
easy to for folks to I see so many people that they're super excited to start a podcast and I give them a bunch of advice and I say, hey, just press record and literally just press publish because you're going to sit there and want to edit it till the day you die. And it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be your best show. And just keep pressing record. Keep pressing record. I started weekly. I keep recording more and more, and the more reps help, to be honest. And so, like all these people, it's like you got to get to at least 50 shows. You have to get to 100 shows. If you're still going, you at least have the passion, even if you feel like you haven't improved as much as you want to. And I just think people forget, like, if you get to be on TV and you're on, TV all the time, all those reps count and they get better, and podcasting the same way. And the gifts today, as opposed to 10 years ago, 10 years ago is hard to podcast. Now you can do it from your phone. You can do
So
it,
easy now.
you can do it in your pajamas on your couch. And it's so easy. Recording solo shows, just getting better. Press record for 10 minutes, put it out, get some feedback, get some listeners, just keep going on something you love. So it's just, I think it's easy for people these days to start, but I also think people are even easier to give up when it's something they really care about. So I just wonder about that. A couple of random things here at the end. So you mentioned about pool life. So I have a lot of experience, primary residence in Florida, and I will say one of my biggest complaints is so many people have pools and a lot of people don't use them. It sounds like you got a place, right, that has no pool. You wish it had a pool, and it sounds like you would use it all the time. So you're the, I will say you're the rare exception because I see so many people in Florida, they just take it for granted.
Yeah, I know I would use it. I know I would. As a kid, we had a pool. Okay. And I know that's one of the big things that people were telling me is we have a pool because we have kids. I want a pool for me though. But yeah, I wanted
Yeah.
a pool. My realtor said no. So we didn't get that house. We got another house that's great, but it doesn't have a pool. HOA don't have a pool with the HOA either. So like I run hot. Like right now I'm already like, whoa, because it's so hot. It's just always so hot. I need to be in a pool. So like, yeah, I wouldn't take it for granted at all. Plus I don't exercise that much, so I feel like I'd be in there actually doing something athletic for once. So
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Absolutely. The other part is I wanted to tell you, and I wish I had known you were an ambassador of Zinni glasses because I got a pair of Zinni glasses. My last pair, I went on there, and I will say it boggled my brain. I did an eye exam on there. I did the whole thing. I ordered them, got them in the mail, and I will say they had some flare on the
Yeah.
on the side sticks there. So Zinni glasses, I would say I don't know if you're getting to get kickbacks just for the mention or anything, but just again, it for someone like myself that doesn't like going in for the formal appointments, and if you're older like us, your prescription probably doesn't change a whole lot. So I was interested to see that on your profile as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm not working with them right at the moment anymore because they changed their thing where like I don't have enough social media presence, but I still say that they're great. I still say
Yeah.
two thumbs up. Like I buy all my glasses from there. They so cheap, but they're well made
Oh yeah.
and
Some great styles too. I mean, so many things that, I mean, if you just walk into a store, you're kind of a prisoner for whatever they have, and you feel like you have to walk out with something that they offer you. And Zinni, you just click, 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 you know, a bunch of different styles, and you can get the blue coating, you can get anything you want. The other thing, and I frankly, this is the most important part, but your custom fantasy football shirts. I mean, this is so on brand for you, no pun intended. SundayDreamersClub.com. And I would imagine you're probably going to be rocking at the expo some shirt that actually just says, you know, on the back, it's going to have that site on it, and it's going to have one of your cool phrases on the front. So is this something, how new is this? It's new to me over the last, you know, couple months or so. So where are you going with this? And I just clicked through, and every single one of the shirts, I can imagine you saying the phrase, I can imagine you wearing the shirt, and I can imagine anyone that likes you wanting one of these shirts.
So yeah, it's only been around since April, I think. It had been an idea that I had for a while, just because I love t-shirts and I love dumb sayings on t-shirts and I love cool band t-shirts and all that stuff. I'm a t-shirt gal. And I've been talking to my wife about it, and she was like, you're gonna need something as like a side hustle kind of thing, right? And if you want to expand it into something bigger, then you can do that. And that's what I want to do. I want to expand it into something huge. Fantasy football, like I'll wear the shirts out that say something like, probably thinking about my fantasy football lineups or whatever. And
Right.
somebody will come up to me and be like, yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah, me too, or whatever. And it's a cool conversation starter. But yeah, at the expo, I'm gonna have a booth. And that's going to be red, so you guys can come check that out. Yeah, so I'll be big presence. Probably my dad and my wife and myself, we're all going to be rocking shirts, yeah, with probably a QR code in the website and all that jazz. But yeah, it's over on Etsy right now. I do have SundayDreamersClub.com, so that takes you to the site. But yeah, it's on Etsy right now because I'm just starting this journey, but I look forward to like expanding and growing as the community continues to grow.
Thank you so much for your time and talents. We mentioned about again your podcast, the Get Real podcast, in addition to some of these other things at the end of the show. But what else do you have going on? Obviously, now you have more time on your hands, not having a 9 to 5, but that also means that, you know, a greater responsibility you probably feel to yourself, your followers, your readers, your listeners, and all of that. So, what do you kind of have planned between now and week one? How can the industry support you and your goals and your journeys?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I am doing a lot of stuff. I'm still trying to figure out my scheduling because I'm really bad at that. That was the one good thing about a 9 to 5 job is
You know when it
you
starts.
know when it starts and you know when it ends. So Yeah, but I do. I have a Get Real with Casey Kasem. I've been putting out a few episodes a week. I might go back to one. I've been banking them. Then I so go check that out. Really, that's one of the biggest things that can help me out is if you check that out. So do that. I'm writing with Roto Baller. I'm also with Fantasy Six Pack and South Harmon Fantasy Football. So all awesome sites, all awesome people, doing all that content. And then SundayDreamersClub.com is the fantasy football t-shirts. That is such a great thing for me. Like it's helping me be creative, actually do an outlet for that kind of stuff. And just it's so much fun to be able to like put stuff out that people like. So yeah, check that out as well.
Excellent. Casey Kasem officially off the clock here. Soon to be back on the clock as we get closer to week one. Obviously, one of the bigger draft entities that I know. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep holding those dynasties.